Hi, this is Michael Waits, and welcome back to the Globechong Podcast. Globechong is a Uniqlo podcast in collaboration with Next Step and Michael Waits Media. That name may sound familiar to you. Uniqlo is Thailand's first student-run organization that provides university application and other insights through events and its online platform to students that are still in high school in Thailand and the rest of Southeast Asia. Next Step is an advanced experiential learning organization based in Asia, providing internships, study abroad programs, and learning expeditions for high school, graduate students, and corporates. The Globechong podcast features stories of accomplished and inspiring Southeast Asian high school graduates, I have one on the phone right now, that are now in college and universities across the globe, hence the name Globechong. On this episode, here we go, I am joined by Gigi Chongjarongkit. It's nice to have you here. How did I do?
Hi, that was great.
Was that okay?
Yeah.
Yay. I do the best I can. So where are you right now, actually?
I'm in Bangkok. I'm home from
break. You're home from school, right? So you're from Bangkok originally, yeah?
Yes. Well, my parents are from Taiwan, but I grew up in Bangkok.
Wait, so your mom and dad, were they born in Taiwan?
My mom was born here, but she went to live in Taiwan. But yeah, my dad was born in Taiwan, and then he came to live in Thailand.
Oh my god, that's awesome. How old was your dad when he came to live in Thailand?
Maybe about 9, really young.
Oh wow, okay, so he was a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
That is so awesome. Look, there's a great, and I think a lot of the world doesn't know this, but there's a really great sort of Thai Chinese population in Bangkok for sure, but also in the rest of the country. And I think it provides a really interesting sort of cultural background for here. I think it's really cool, definitely. Actually, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
So where did you go to high school?
I went to TCIS, the Thai Chinese International School.
So you did it, didn't you? And did you always go to international school? Like, does TCIS have a full sort of K-12 is what an American would call it? I don't know the program yet. We'll get to that in a second. Yeah. Did you go there the whole time?
I went there grade 1. So I went to a Thai kindergarten.
Fair enough.
But basically, yeah, it was like the whole 12 years.
That's awesome. You know, I hadn't thought about this before we started talking, but does that mean that, what's the language that spoke in your house every day?
It's actually quite interesting. My parents speak Chinese and a bit of Right. Yeah, like Mandarin, with us, well, me and my siblings, and we speak Thai mainly back to them.
We speak Thai mainly back to them. Don't you find that fascinating, though?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like, my parents were always, like, they didn't understand why we wouldn't speak, like, just one language. And we thought it was a little weird, but we kind of got used to it. We all just speak, like, a mix of all languages.
In a way, it's a bit of fun, though, right? In other words, do you speak Mandarin, too? In other words, if you went to Taiwan and you spoke to relatives of yours that didn't speak Thai or English, which would be, I guess, an edge condition kind of in Taiwan, but could you speak Mandarin to them?
I do. I do speak Mandarin because TCIS has, like, a really strong Chinese program. That's why my parents sent me there. I'm just not super comfortable with it like I am with Thai.
But what would you say your most comfortable language is? What do you talk to your brothers and sisters in?
We talk in Thai,
Mixed with English. That's so awesome. Anyway, so you went to TCIS. And how would you characterize your experience in high school, right? Was it super academic focused for you? Did you do some extracurricular activities? How did you feel when you were there? Like, oh my God, I've got to really kick some butt when I'm here.
I love TCIS. It was quite small. I had 60 people in my graduating class, but I really liked how, like, cozy it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, like, it being so small let me, like, do a lot of things. I was involved in basically everything.
But was that out of kind of necessity for the school, like, look, we've got a tennis team, you got to play tennis kind of thing? Or was it just that it was available so you could do it and everybody supported you whether you were the best tennis player or not?
Both, actually. Because
that's cool.
Yeah, like each thing, like, well, like drama or band, like, we wouldn't have enough people, so we would always try to be recruiting.
You're in the play, basically.
Yeah. That, and also, like, if you were interested in anything, everyone supports you.
Right. So you'll find this really cool. When I was in 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, I went to a small private school as well, but it was even smaller than yours. So my 5th grade class had, the whole class, the whole grade had 8 kids in it.
Oh, wow.
And my 8th grade class, so by the time we got to just into junior high school, it had 5 kids in it.
Oh, wow.
But it was amazing, right? Because five. And if I told you what those kids did today, you'd be dumbfounded. I think that small environment, for me at least, it was actually really, really good, right?
Do you still talk to them?
So we are all friends on Facebook. Here's what they do. So one of them's a doctor. The other one is a super duper famous NPR guy who's run something called Story something. I can't remember, in the United States. A guy named David Isay, who was a very good friend of mine. I won't say the names of the rest of the people, but another one of them is the chief counsel, so the head lawyer for a National Basketball Association team. The other one does television production in Hollywood, and I think I got all five of them.
Yeah. Wow, that's
so pretty
cool.
Amazing. Yeah, and a lot of them, so their moms and dads were professors at Yale. It was just a really cool group of kids. Mm-hmm. But the point is that that kind of small environment was really good for me and really conducive to learning, I thought.
Yeah, I think so too. I feel like small classrooms, they really help you learn.
Yeah, I felt like it taught me to learn how to learn, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Right? Because the facts are easy to learn. Anybody can sort of memorize by rote almost anything they want. But learning that process of how to learn, I think, is really cool.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's true. But also, I feel like being in that like small classroom setting and then transitioning into like a really big classroom, I kind of like didn't know how to learn or like didn't know how to study in university because I was just so used to it. Sorry.
No, go ahead. That's my fault.
Yeah, I was just so used to like having a teacher always checking up on you and things like that, that it was just so hard for me.
So what were like your main activities when you were in school, in high school?
I did student council and I was in the band. I did drama or theater. I was also class president.
You were class president?
Yeah.
That's cool. So you had to get elected by the rest of the 60 people that were in your class.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like? Were you not embarrassed, but, you know, kind of like shy about saying, I want to do this thing and having to go to a vote? Or did that just come naturally to you?
I'm not sure. Actually, it's been a while.
That long ago.
It's like a pretty small school and nobody really, like nothing changes a lot. And I think I've been doing it since high school started, since 9th grade. Yeah. And I think it was just like, it just naturally happened.
Okay, but that's cool. I mean, look, a lot of leadership is something that does happen naturally, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of cool. When did you start thinking about going to college?
It was always like a thing I have to do. It was never a question of whether like I should.
But were there like conversations around how many brothers and sisters did you have?
I have an older sister. Okay. She's 2 years older, and a younger brother who's still in high school.
And is he at TCIS as well?
Yes.
And your older sister is also at university?
Yes. She Where goes she to the University of Washington.
Okay. So she's not that far away from you, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it just feels like a world away. Yeah. So around the dinner table or whatever, did your family talk about like, okay, you're doing well in high school. Where are you going to go to college? Because I remember when I was a kid, like when I was 6 years old, my parents just kept talking about how I was going to go to law school. Do you know what I mean? And I felt like... Oh. For my whole life, like that was the one thing I was going to do. Oh, I didn't do that, by the way. But that's what I felt like.
I feel like my parents gave me a lot of freedom in like choosing what I want to do or like what I want to study. So I actually never really thought about it until senior year. And like we also didn't talk about it much until senior year. And it was mostly just about where I want to go and not like what I want to do.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to that. So where do you go to school?
I go to UC Berkeley.
Berkeley. That's nice. California. I think my biggest regret was staying on the East Coast when I went to college.
How come?
I really do. How come? Well, first of all, I grew up in mostly in Boston and Connecticut, and I was joking with some of the kids that I've already talked to who went to Yale and Harvard that are from Thailand. Like that cold, once the winter starts, it just gets brutal, right? And I lived my whole life in snow and shoveling, and I just hated every second of it. And instead of doing something smart like going to California for college, I went to Connecticut, so it's just kind of
Weather's
silly.
really nice in California.
Yeah. So
It
how did you settle on Berkeley?
was kind of a last minute decision.
Don't do that to me, really.
It
So,
was.
what was it, at the last minute you just decided you want to go to like top three university in the United States?
I know. I had like started getting acceptances like to universities all over, like Canada, and in Thailand too. And I just didn't know. I also like didn't really have time to think about it because I think I was doing something like some big project at that time, so I didn't have time to really think about this. And then it was nearing like the due date for you to just basically like accept their offer. I had no idea which school I wanted to go to, but I knew for sure that my parents wanted me to go to Berkeley for sure.
Why?
So, because I think because it was kind of like the quote unquote best school I applied to,
Fair enough.
and just the prestige, I guess.
Yeah, it's pretty prestigious. Good for you, by the way.
Thank you. I didn't know what to pick, and it was the like it was nearing the deadline, so I thought, yeah, Berkeley.
Why not? So
I'm like, yeah.
did your parents go to school in the US as well?
No, they both went to school in Taiwan.
So was it always kind of predetermined? Because you said you also applied to schools in Thailand. I'm presuming like you applied to Chulao or Thammasat or
Yeah,
Star
those
or something. Yeah,
two.
exactly. That wasn't too hard to figure out for those of you scoring at home. Was it always kind of predetermined that you would go outside the country to go to school?
Yes and no. So it was kind of predetermined. Like I kind of always thought I would go abroad, but at the same time, like part of me was like, what if I stay? And my parents also wanted me to go, but also wanted me to stay at the
Right.
same time, like so I could be closer to them.
Right,
But they do want me to go abroad because it's Berkeley.
But what was that feeling like? Because you went to international school, right? Did you ever leave during breaks and stuff and do internships overseas or live outside of Thailand before you actually went to Berkeley?
I did a super short summer course thing at University of Michigan
Okay.
my junior year of high school.
Okay. Well, at least it wasn't during the winters. The summers in Michigan are gorgeous, right? Like really beautiful. Okay, so you at least had some sense of what it was like to live away. But did you feel that sort of sense of transition when you left? In other words, like I've lived in my parents' house for my whole life, and now I'm really just going to go live on my own, and not even in my own country, but in a place that's really far away.
Yeah, definitely. It was really interesting. It was just really different.
How?
Well, I feel like going to college, everybody, well, like we expect it to be different, but I didn't re like it was still shocking to me how different it was, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm really curious though. What do you mean? In other words, differences are normally manifest itself in expectation management, right? In other words, you had an expectation and then it was different than that, right? So how did that work? How were your expectations? What were your expectations, and how are they different when you arrived?
I think maybe because I went to an international school, right? And like I'm exposed to like Western culture, and I guess
Right.
yeah, and like because American culture is part of a lot of the popular culture right now, and so I thought like I didn't think there would be too many surprises. But when I got there, like the culture is like I definitely felt a little bit of culture shock.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I think that's one of the biggest things that should be taught to students that go overseas, and I think that's the exact word. So I did the same thing, right? When I was in college, I spent a year abroad in Japan. And it was just shocking. Really, it just everything about it was shocking because everything was different. But you want to know what's even weirder is when you come home after being away for 4 years and graduating from school, maybe you'll get a master's, so you'll be away for 6 years, who knows, right? But you'll come home and then you'll get reverse culture shock, which is even stranger.
Oh gosh.
Oh god, I don't need that, right? What was it like though, transitioning from high school as a student to college as a student? Was it difficult? Did you find that going to classes was easy? Because your class size at Berkeley must be multiples, and that's probably an under exaggeration, multiples of the size of your course, your classes at TCIS, right?
Yeah, it is. All my classes are in like huge lecture halls, and there are like thousands of people. No, that's an exaggeration. Maybe like, so it's a lot of people. And like I said before, like I'm not used to like asking for help, basically, because I'm just used to like just getting help. I feel like I learned to like push myself and go to office hours and things like that to actually get the help I need. But sometimes like I still like sometimes it's still hard for me. Like sometimes I still feel like I don't need to ask for help, and that's really like that's not good.
Right, it's
for if I'm struggling with the material, sometimes I feel like it's not worth it to go ask, because like it's a big class, the professor's too busy. But yeah, I think it's just something that you have to learn to do in like in big universities.
You do. And I think it's actually pretty metaphorical for the rest of life as well, right? In other words, if TCIS, if you think about your progression in life, right? First, you're with your family. So it's just you, basically your mom and dad and your brothers and sisters and maybe some extended family, but it's not like 100 people. At the most, it's like 20 people, right? Mm. And then you go to school and now it's 60 kids in a class and probably 500 kids in the school. It gets bigger. And then you go to the university, and Berkeley just has thousands of people there, thousands, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's only just prep work for the real world, where there are 7 billion people and it's just harder. Do you know what I mean? So you have to learn how to go and ask.
Yeah, that's so true.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think if nothing else, and you'll learn a lot more, we didn't even talk about what you're studying, which I want to do in a second, but if you learn nothing else in university, one of the big things is just how to survive in the rest of the world, right? Learning how to get along with the rest of the people that are out there. And also, you know, the one other thing that's really important to me is just learning to ask for the things that you want, because no one's ever going to give it to you unless you ask for it, right?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like that's one of the most important things I've learned in college.
So what does it feel like? I never really went to office hours when I was in school, and I regret that as well, but probably for the same reason. I didn't feel like I needed it. I think the grades reflected that, but you can always do better, right? You can always learn more. You see that subtle humble brag, right? But you can always do more. But yeah. What was that feeling like when you first kind of knocked on the door of your professor and said, like, you know, my name is Gigi and I just want to ask you a few questions about X? Were you scared or?
Yeah, the first time I went to office hours was actually like my friend dragged me there.
Right, you had to go with somebody else, right?
Yeah, because I would never go alone by myself.
That's a good idea, though.
Like for the first time, I was I really didn't want to go alone, and it was really scary because there are a lot of other kids, and they're there to like listen to your questions as well. And
so you're not in office hours alone. It's just like you and a bunch of other kids from the class.
Yeah, it was a little weird because like it feels like a lecture, but it's not. And like the professor like. You're so used to seeing the professor from so far away that it's kind of weird to see them so close up. And you're always afraid that like your questions sound stupid because everyone's staring at you, and it's just really nerve wracking. But everyone's usually like super supportive. And like, even if the professor's talking to someone else, another student will answer your question if they know it.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's always really helpful.
Did you feel smart when you were in high school?
You can say
yes. Do you know what I mean? Like, no, it's an important question, and I'll get to that in a second, right? But did you feel confident that like you could understand the material, and that at the end of the day, even if it was unknown to you, you'd learn it and figure it out, and that whatever mechanism they used to score, you were going to do okay?
Yeah, I did feel that.
You did, right? And that's a good feeling to have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, confidence, if you have confidence in life, again, it's just another one of those little battles you don't have to fight.
Mm-hmm.
When you got to Berkeley, which is filled with really smart kids, you know, professors, mm-hmm. MBA students, all that stuff. Did you have any doubt at all at the beginning? Like, uh-oh, maybe I'm not as smart as I thought I was. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I do have a lot of doubt because everyone at Berkeley is really smart. And like a lot of people do struggle at Berkeley, but they don't show it. So you don't realize that your friends are also struggling. And then you feel like everyone's doing so well. Why are you the only one struggling? And then that just like that makes it so hard and so challenging.
It does.
But yeah, but I but like you, but then you realize that other people are also struggling, and then like you kind of create your own support group, and then it gets better from there.
It does though, right? And again, that's just another really interesting thing about being away from your comfort zone, right? Being outside of country, outside of family, away from your smaller school. You've got to figure out how to build those support mechanisms, which before were just kind of built for you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It's really, it's like a huge change for me to have to go and like, yeah, like build those things for myself.
So awesome. I remember when I was in college as well, there were certain kids, you knew they weren't doing well. You could just tell by the look on their face, and you'd say like, you know, how did you do on that statistics exam? And they'd be like, it's fine. And you knew they were going back to their room to like get drunk or something, right? And you felt terrible, but there was no mechanism to mm-hmm. actually have that conversation and say, how can I help you?
Yeah.
And that's too bad. Anyway, so what are you studying there?
I'm studying economics and psychology, but I'm also thinking about studying like media communications.
What a great idea. What is it about? So economics and psychology, I understand completely. I majored in economics and you know everybody has a little bit of psychology in them. But what is it about the media and communications that's so interesting to you? Like why? What changed your mind when you got to school?
I'm a part of the Undergraduate Communications Association at Berkeley.
What does
and
that mean?
It's just like a club, a communications club where we do like communication stuff. We do like PR, marketing, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like after joining this club, I feel like it kind of like opened my eyes to the world of communications.
Yeah,
I never knew like what it was kind of. And I didn't know like how much communications could be, I guess. Like, I feel like the term communications is kind of broad.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And I never really knew until I joined this club. And then it was just fascinating to me. In the club, we do a lot of networking panels. And sometimes we bring like professionals in communications or in marketing, like for separate panels. And it's always interesting to see different professionals from different companies doing like completely different things. Like they would say they're doing communications, but they're completely different. And they're all like really amazing work. And I just,
right.
And it like really, it was really impressive to me. And I just felt like it's just really cool to be able to do something like PR for like a company like Postmates. It's just like super cool. So that I think that's what sparked my interest in like communications and media.
So the longer you do this or the longer you're part of this club, do you get a real sense for, I'll say like the unknown power or influence of media in your day-to-day life?
Yeah, I do feel that.
Yeah. Makes you look at everything you see differently, no?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So did you do PR for Postmates? Is that a real thing? Or you just met the people who did that and they came and spoke?
Yeah. That's what happened.
Can you tell me what the ASUC is, right? The Associated Students for the University of California. Like what do you do for them as well? Do you work at all when you're there?
They're the student government at Berkeley. It's okay. Completely student run. It's really big is what I was going to say. But I can't remember like around how many people, but, I work in the admin office. So I do, administrative tasks. I get paid to do it. So I guess it's like my job.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Basically handle financial documents that involve like the ASUC Senate and other like student organizations on campus.
That's cool. Did you have a job when you were in Thailand? Like, have you ever had a part-time job?
No, never.
And so what do you think about actually going somewhere, doing something, and actually earning some money for it? How cool is that?
It's really cool. I actually love
It's
it.
really kind of cool, right?
No, I love having a job. Like I it feels really rewarding. Like 'cause like sometimes you don't always love the work you do, right? But if
For
you
sure.
keep but you keep doing it and you realize like first of all you get money and like who doesn't love that? But second, like you really feel like when you really like choose something that you want to do like regularly, it becomes like enjoyable and you have like your coworkers who are also your friends, and it's just like a great experience.
It's
And
super right.
especially like working for the ASUC, who like the Senate and the president and everything, they do like amazing work for the students. So it's like really cool to be a part of it.
You're a freshman, right?
I'm a sophomore.
Oh, you're a sophomore. Okay, so you're in your second year. That's even better because now I have a more important question for you. Now that you've been at school for a year and almost a half, right? The person you are, I'm guessing, is very different than the person that first sort of walked on campus on the first day. And I think if I'd asked you this the same time last year, your answer would have been, "Don't ask me that stupid question because how am I supposed to know?" Which would have been fair. But the question I do want to ask is, are you getting a better sense now for what you want to do when you graduate? I know it's early, but do you think about it at all now? You can say no, it's okay, because you're still early on, but I was just curious.
The honest answer is, I guess,
Okay,
no.
that's fair though. Look, the idea, right? Remember, we talked about this before we started recording, is there's a lot of pressure, I think, on college students, and I think every generation feels more pressure to decide, like, I'm going to be X and I'm going to work through university to end up at X. And then if I don't, I'm a failure at some level, right? But I like the fact that you say, I don't know, because I don't know is always an okay answer.
Yeah, 'cause everyone around me, especially at Berkeley, they always seem like they have everything figured out.
Sure.
They
They
everything
don't, by the
that
way,
they want
just
to
so you
do.
know.
And it just makes you like really confused, and it like it's kind of scary like when you feel like you're the only one who doesn't know what you want to do with your life.
Right.
But yeah, I still kind of don't. I'm still figuring it out. I'm still exploring like all these different subjects.
You should be.
I
Yeah, I mean,
took
that's what
a
school's
bunch
about.
of
Sorry,
like
go.
crazy classes to
What was your crazy class?
I took a class called Drugs in the Brain just for fun, and Physics for Future Presidents. yeah, just like classes like that, just to see like what I would like.
Talk to me about drugs in the brain.
It was a really cool class. He went over like the professor went over all the like common drugs that are used in the US, and that includes like alcohol and tobacco, like the really common ones. And we just like learned how they affect us, like the brain,
Right.
and like what it does to your body, what it does to you, and like how it and also how it affects other people. And I think this professor, he's a neuroscientist, but
Okay.
he also like does a lot of I think I guess like philosophical work. So he talks a lot about like the mind and how it enriches your like spirit and things like that. And it's just really cool to think about like drugs and chemicals in that way.
Do you think that it expands the way, like even a class like that, even if you only take it once, right? If you think about the way that drugs impact your brain and that how maybe it unlocks certain things inside your brain that have not, or spaces in your brain that haven't been used before, does it again give you a different perspective on the way you look at the rest of the world at all times and also your perception of people that actually periodically do test some of these drugs, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, 'cause we also talk a lot about how like the history of how these drugs were used, and
Right.
it just feels really like interesting to me how like people back then, and like they had like completely like diff and like a completely different experience like of life, and like they just lived life completely differently, and like they do different things with these drugs, like they, but it's like just really cool to see like how people live in like different ways.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, and like how it's like some drugs like open up like some things that like we don't know about. Like we don't know if like a certain artwork that was like I don't know if it was
right, you don't
unlocked.
Know, right? Unlocked by something, right? So if you go back and look at
yeah,
you know, some of your most famous paintings, right? Mm-hmm. You go when you look at Picasso or you look at Salvador Dali. And you just wonder, how did they ever think this stuff up? And then when you take a class called Drugs in the Brain, you think, okay, maybe I have an idea now about how they thought this stuff up. But it's just an interesting way to think, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the other thing I want to ask you, and then I'll let you go, is you said your sister's in Washington, right? And she's 2 years older than you. So if you're a sophomore, she must be a senior, right?
Yes.
Do you talk to her a lot about that progression from high school into university, and now that you've been there for a year, how it's different being a sophomore than it is being a senior? Like, do you guys talk a lot?
Not really. We don't really talk about that, I guess.
Because,
well, she's like similar to me in that, like, she didn't really know for sure what she wanted to do until, right. Like maybe like sophomore year as well, like the end of sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I feel like. Like I and also we're interested in completely different things. Fair so enough. We never really talk about like those things.
Okay. Well, look, I don't want to take up any more of your time. This was an awesome conversation for me. I hope you had as much fun as I did because it was really good. And you were an awesome guest. So
thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.